What is up, everybody? We're talking about Bill Cosby's verdict today and a lot more on Black Hollywood Lives this week.
You are tuned in to Black Hollywood Live this week.
I think I'm getting to the money. Hey, everybody, man.
You are tuned in to Black Hollywood Live this week.
Same old nigga from the block. Same old nigga with the pot. The same old nigga from the trap. Everybody hated on him, then he bounced right back. I just spent a whole lot of time overseas.
I'm just gonna let Christian rap. I don't even need the intro of the show. Christian Keys is just gonna rap through the beginning of the show with his little dance.
I know it's a whole lot of niggas that was hating. I know it's a whole lot of chicks that was taking. So I shut the niggas up.
Crazy. What is up, everybody? Welcome to Black Hollywood Lives this week. I'm your host, Dario Christian. Joining me today is a full panel. I'm just going to start with Christian Keys because he introed the show with the rap game right there. Y'all know him, Mr. Actor, producer, writer, everything. Christian Keys is in the house.
What's going on, y'all?
Welcome. Our special guest today.
Hey guys.
I just like to call you Joelle.
Oh, thank you.
You just go by your first name.
That.
Joelle.
You like my mama.
Yeah, just
why
Joelle.
You just denounce your last name? I'm sorry. Joelle Monique just has a nice ring to it.
I'm just gonna call you Joelle.
Okay, today. But you can find me everywhere at Joelle Monique.
Right.
I'm just gonna let people know.
All right, and of course Courtney Stewart back in the house with her Mickey Mouse.
I'm here. I know. I had
shirt on.
You know, we talking about everybody mad. I was real mad all day, so I was like, I need some joy. So
right.
I knew sometimes I have to dress and think about that, and that brought me some happiness. The happiest place on earth. And
feeling that, because that was the hints our theme song today, because
yes.
There's so much in the news this week that we want to talk about. Some people mad, some people not mad, some people going mad. We don't know, but we're about to talk about it right now.
We about to find out. Well, I don't know if we're going to find out. I'm not sure what we're going to find out, because Kanye West has been in everything. The news, the Twitter sphere, the Instagram sphere, everybody's sphere. We all confused and don't know. I'm pretty sure Kanye is probably confused, but who knows? Maybe it's all a ploy. So this week, well, actually, what, 2 days ago at this point, Kanye just sort of like reappeared into the world and on Twitter with a massive amount of tweeting. And, you know, I can't even begin to get into every single tweet that he tweeted out, but just to highlight a few things, he went in and started talking about some dragon energy, which is apparently some special energy that only special people have, like himself, and Cheetos up in the Oval Office. He also went on to say that he no longer has a manager, that he can't be managed. He said that he's the single highest paid person in footwear. He repeatedly discussed Yeezy over and over and over and over again and mentioned 2024 because that's when he wants to become Cheetos in the office, Oval Office. He basically said, you don't have to agree with Trump, but the mob can't make me not love him. And that seemed to really get everybody going mad after all the other tweets he was tweeting about. He tweeted that and then tweeted a picture of himself wearing that bright red jolly signed Make America Great Again hat. And that, you know, he lost 9 million followers.
He got everybody mad.
Yeah.
But he still got like 28 million followers. So some people still hanging on. There's been some discussion about, you know, Kanye's losing his mind. Oh, he's having another breakdown. And Kim came out to defend him with a real long post about how
she
it's wrong
to be Chrissy
for
Teigen
y'all.
So bad.
I can't stand, whatever. I didn't say that. She was defending her husband as she should. Good job, girl. And then today, John Legend actually sort of reached out to him and was actually texting him on the phone, and Kanye decided to post the text messages. Basically, after some conversation, John said, so, quote, so many people who love you feel so betrayed right now because they know the harm that Trump's policies cause, especially to people of color. Don't let this be a part of your legacy. You're the greatest artist of our generation. To that, Kanye responded, I love you, John, and appreciate your thoughts. You bringing up my fans and my legacy is a tactic based on fear used to manipulate my free thought. So he is real upset with y'all attacking his free thought, his free will, and his right to love Trump and love what's happening in this world. And he wanted y'all to know he is not in the sunken place, and he posted pictures of his home to let y'all know that that is not the sunken place. But the Twitter sphere kind of disagreed and was like, yo, that looks exactly
like the second place.
My favorite tweet was, I've never seen an unseasoned house before. And I said, yeah.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Yeah. That looked like Karen's potato salad. And if y'all don't know what I'm talking about, go and look at SNL with T'Challa.
And Kim got upset that he posted those pictures of their home because I guess they had a rule that they would never show the inside of their house. And
for real?
Yeah.
Because it looks terrifying. There's no, like, you have, what, three kids? Like, there's no visual stimulation in there for any of your children. It is just white walls on white furniture. Kids can't play outside and come into that house. It's never going to work.
Gerard's like, all about the kids.
This is exactly why you didn't want your house in public, because I would be judging it. I'm tired of Kanye. And that says a lot.
Bless his heart.
Bless his heart. Christian, what did you think when you saw it?
I'm all for everybody being able to think what they want to think, man. But, like Brother John said, I mean, it's obvious, it's blatant that the policies that they're instituting, him, the orange face trying to go back and undo everything that President Barack did, just out of spite, just so many negative things and waves of negative energy he's brought, and he's still pushing.
Yeah.
And that's crazy. And it's I don't love orange face. I don't.
Just drawing that line of distinction there. Like, don't get it twisted.
Yeah, don't get it twisted.
No one here is in support of 45.
Nobody's in support of that. But it's also kind of annoying because I think Chance actually tweeted back at him that just because you're black doesn't mean you have to be a Democrat.
Sure.
Brother, that's not the argument.
That's not what we're saying.
Our problem is with Trump. Okay, and what Trump is doing.
Specifically.
Right. That's what we're talking about right now. The Trump is the issue, much more so than the
And I love how nobody here uses the P word, because I have never said that, and I won't call him that.
Well, hopefully that'll all be changing soon anyway.
I hope so.
That's, you know, with the little birds are saying, but who knows. But here's where I have to say that John Legend, I was happy with what he was doing, because he basically was even trying to tell Kanye, like, look, you have a responsibility with all your followers and the young kids who listen and respect your music and listen to your music for kind of like their direction. Mm-hmm. And this is the direction that you're giving them, you know, with Trump, you know, and also, you know, it's hard for me. It's like, oh, conveniently, you know, now everybody's saying that he's going crazy again. I'm like, he's conveniently going crazy at the same time that his wife is launching her perfume and she's everywhere naked doing her, you know, love Kim and love with their, you know, they keep the dollars going. But let's call a spade a spade. It's the same week that she's launching her perfume. Mm-hmm. And he has a new album that's coming out in the next few months.
Is it a publicity stunt?
You know what I mean?
Being honest.
It's like, come on.
And he's probably going to drop a new Yeezy, too.
I don't think Kanye lies about what he believes in. Like, he's been pretty open and honest from the get. I think he's come out of his shell now to promote the album. I certainly think they go hand in hand, but I don't think he's cracking up. I think he's being 100% serious, and I think we have to close the door on Kanye. Like, we got all the way up to 808s and Heartbreaks. We got four solid albums ready to go.
You said you're done.
The truth and the history stands within them. You know, I might listen to Father Stretch My Hands every now and again because it gets me hype. But other than that, we can just close the door on Kanye. That's over.
So his picture frame is off the table.
Absolutely.
And he is great, but if you're great, you don't have to tell me you're great.
Yeah.
Do the work, put it out. You don't have to keep reminding me that you're the greatest. And he's even starting to look like Donald. Like, he's even starting to get built a little bit like Donald. He's on that Donald eat everything and play golf plan.
He is. But also I have a problem with it, too, because, you know, we obviously know back when Bush was president, and he went on that telethon or whatever, and he said Bush doesn't like black people.
Yeah.
Bush was far less worse than what Trump is doing right now.
Right.
So how can you support Trump and then you were, you know, going against Bush and his policies?
And Bush was a war criminal. Like, we have to really weigh what we're saying here. Like, it's bad.
It's pretty bad. Yeah. It's pretty bad. But Kanye is no longer invited to the barbecue.
Hashtag bless his heart.
Bless his heart.
Everybody, we just gonna say a prayer for him when we go home later tonight.
Mm-hmm. No name and the kids.
And
the kids, because they gotta hit it and say this stuff. So.
I don't even, whatever. That's another whole conversation. All right, so we're gonna move on to another artist that is in the news, or maybe not in enough news, and maybe something you guys might want to know about. So if you're in the Detroit area, you might want to check this out. There's a Detroit artist by the name of Paul Johnson, who currently has an exhibit on display called Sambo Princess. And it is basically, the theory behind it is that he's reclaiming the minstrel depictions from the 19th and 20th centuries that often used to dehumanize black people and make them look like clowns and buffoons. And he's developed this character named the Sambo Princess. And he's embracing the appearance of black people, from the big lips to the kinky hair and all of that. And he's been getting rave reviews, and you can actually still check out his exhibit, which is on display until Sunday, May 6th at the Gray Area in Detroit. So go support a local artist in the city that is on its rise back up, I believe, and keep, you know.
They're coming back.
And that's Christian's hometown.
I was born in Detroit in Henry Ford Hospital across the street from Motown.
All right.
I did grow up in Flint, though. I did. I got to claim my, you know, they'll talk about me if I don't claim home. Yeah.
Well, there you go. So they'll keep the positivity because we, you know, Kanye's on something right now, but there's still also other.
I mean, the artwork is spectacular. I would love to see it in person. Unfortunately, I won't be able to, but would love to.
You might co-order something.
That's true.
Help a brother out.
Right. Put it up in the BHL studio.
You know what I'm saying? Put it up in the studio. You can gift them. I accept gifts. Mm.
I knew that's where that was going.
I like how you said you specifically accept
gifts. I just said I accept gifts.
Got it.
She's not a stop of freedom of thought. She was just giving you some options.
Okay. All right.
That's all we said. So support a brother, go to the Gray Area in Detroit between now and May 6th. You got a week, y'all.
All right. So we're going to move on to our EUR Web Story Spotlight of the Week before we get into Mr. Christian's new projects.
Web Story Spotlight of the Week.
All right. This has also been making the news this week. We had a situation at Waffle House that occurred. It was a tragedy at Waffle House where a gunman was on the outside of the Waffle House outside Nashville, like it's a suburb of Nashville, Tennessee, and people, it was in the a.m., I think it was around 2:30 a.m., and people were sitting there having breakfast and eating as they do, and a gunman went and shot up the outside of the building, killing four people, but there was a young man by the name of, what is his name here, James Shaw Jr., who was actually someone who people are honoring now because he was able to tackle the armed gunman and take the gun away from him, in which the gunman fled. And, you know, he's being hailed now, James, as the hero of the city because he obviously saved many lives who were still in there. And he waited. He said that he was sitting in there, and when the gunfire started, he ducked down and kind of ran into a back room where he was able to kind of see where the gunman was. And once the gunman was, he said, took a pause maybe to reload the gun. He was able to go out and tackle him. And he actually was grazed by a bullet himself. And he said he also had a little bit of burn from the tip of the gun holding the gun. So the city is really hailing him. In fact, Waffle House has said that they're going to pay for the services for the victims and some of the people who are just helping people out who were actually involved and sitting inside of the restaurant as well. What did you guys think when you first saw this? I mean, this kid definitely, he's been on the news circuit and people have been talking about him, especially when we're coming off of, you know, Starbucks from last week. It's nice to kind of have someone who is African-American, even though unfortunately under the circumstances, to be praised in the same sense.
He's a hero. I think he's a hero. Bona fide hero. You put your personal safety behind. Yeah. Don't even think about that. It's like, we got to end this now. And it was smart. He didn't just rationally thought it through. He didn't just jump out there and get shot. Right. He waited until my man was reloading when it was safe. So I salute him, man. He's a hero.
Yeah, it's crazy. And the entire journey after the set of events, like, went to the hospital, got up, went to church, then started a foundation to support victims of gun violence. Yeah. I was like, this man is unstoppable.
Yeah, he started a GoFundMe campaign and raised $165,000. And he also was matched by, there was a New York man who launched an online fundraiser to benefit everything too, and he raised $175,000. So it's a lot of money, you know, that's being involved here that's going to the victims, which is great because, I mean, it's just crazy to me. You can't even go to sit at a restaurant at this point without safety issues.
That was wow, Waffle House, two man, you can't go anywhere.
But what I don't like is that they labeled him, the media dove right into the fact that the shooter was mentally ill. As usual. No, he's a terrorist.
Yes.
He is a terrorist.
Yeah.
Period, point blank.
Wasn't supposed to have the guns. By the way, his daddy gave him the guns.
Yeah, that's the big debate now because he had AR-15s.
Like they all do.
And apparently his father had taken away the guns and given them back to him.
The Secret Service investigated him. The FBI investigated him. His dad was like, you know what? I feel like still a good idea for you to have guns.
I'm going
to
give this back
to you. It's his patriotic right. people.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
And he went in there with just a jacket on. He had. They said he was nude.
Nude, yeah.
Nude on, and I'm like, where? You know, what was going on mentally with him?
Slightly naked. Should not have had guns.
Yeah.
We'll never look at Waffle House the same. But because we're talking about Waffle House, I have to bring up.
I'm gonna say.
Bring it up.
The woman that was attacked and tackled to the ground in Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And her breasts were revealed to the entire restaurant because the police, over an argument over some plastic utensils.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know all the details. What I do know is that was some real aggressive policing, and Waffle House, as far as I know, is still standing behind what the police did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's a little bit uncomfortable. Waffle
the police,
House.
This was in Alabama. The police also stand by what they did. They said that was the right steps of actions to take, despite the fact that one of them just choked her and threatened to break her arm.
Yeah.
Like, insanity.
Literally put his hand on her throat like this.
She already on the ground, two guys on top of her.
She had no weapon.
That's not police procedure. That's
and
not
all she's asking
procedure.
Is, hey, like, what are you guys arresting me for? I don't understand. But you're supposed to tell the person why they're being arrested.
Yeah.
And she was just asking for silverware. And they were like, you got to buy, you got to pay for it. And she said, you know what? I want to see the manager. I want to talk to the owner.
Yes.
I've been to Waffle House since I was 4 years old, and I ain't never paid for no silverware.
Never.
They might get Starbucks.
Like, I mean, because it seemed like on like Monday, I guess, I think it was Monday or Tuesday when it happened, or when we found out it happened. Everybody was kind of on the, you know, social media is like, oh, Waffle House, you out.
Right.
But then it kind of died away, not in the same way that Starbucks sort of was. Even after Waffle House still came out with their statement in support of it. And y'all know, I'm from Atlanta. I love Waffle House.
I do too.
House.
They even got chicken bread.
Waffle House is life. I was so excited to eat Waffle House in February when I went home. I didn't know what to do.
The cheese grits.
But
I
can't go to, y'all can't go to Waffle House if they tackling women to the flow. Like, that makes no sense.
And that's the only way to hurt them, hit them in the pocket. You remember H&M? They had to close down stores and stores because of that, because we weren't going for it.
Yep.
And that's the only way to get them. If we got to get them like that, Starbucks and Waffle House, let's hit them.
And Waffle House, you might need to holler at Starbucks, and maybe y'all can do like a community, what is it, sensitivity training.
Yeah.
They
training.
Doing at the
Something.
End of the day. Yeah. Y'all need to do that together and work that out, because we are all up in Waffle House, and that is unacceptable.
Yeah.
So I don't want people to forget that happened.
We can.
Even we're celebrating this
He said,
guy.
I will break your arm.
Yes.
And he choked. It's not me. It's a woman.
It's a woman. Yeah. And she's on the ground with a body.
All the images, you can see the actual, his hand around her neck.
Actually got her here.
But here's my question. Does it cause concern to you guys even more that now we have, you know, a couple years back, it was where people were really starting to videotape and have their phones out, and cops were a little bit more wary. Obviously, we're talking about the cameras on the cops. And those conversations have kind of been a little silent as of late. Does it make you nervous now that cops don't even care that people are videotaping them, and that this stuff can just randomly happen anywhere and it's no repercussions?
I mean,
from
what's
it.
There to be nervous about? We already saw this happening. Like, it did not matter. They ran up on a 12-year-old boy, had camera footage of it, didn't get him to a hospital in time, and then they were like, oh, there's nobody at fault here. I don't think anything, until the court system changes, there's nothing to be nervous or scared about. The cops are going to do what they're going to do, and they're going to get off, and they're going to enjoy their lives. Like, there's no backside to it.
And they will try to tell you that you can't film, but state law everywhere says as long as you stay a safe distance away, you can film a public servant performing their job, performing their duty. So they can't take your phone, they can't whatever.
The ACLU has an app where once you start filming, it live streams to their stuff, so it saves automatically. You might want to do that so they don't try to take your phone and delete stuff, because they're nuts. It's just the ACLU app. You can just download it. It's really easy to use.
It's crazy.
That's good.
The system got to change. It ain't. We can video all day long, and I try to. I get nervous. My papers, like my insurance is right on my car, my notes paid.
Yeah.
And I get nervous every time a cop pulls around, because you don't know.
You don't know.
And then you're nervous to touch your phone.
Right.
I got screamed at by a cop because my insurance
too.
Card is on my phone.
Same here.
Because that's legal in California.
Yeah.
And he was giving me attitude because of that.
Yeah.
So
same
I'm
here.
Like, what do we do? But you're right. It's in the system.
It's in the system.
Because people have been seeing hot mess happen for centuries.
And they keep getting off. They keep getting off. They lied about Stephon Clark. Seven or eight of those bullets were in his back. How could he possibly do like this? He couldn't, because he was the first bullet, I guess, turned him around.
They turned him around.
And he shielded his... You shot him seven times more in the back. How was he pointing a gun at you?
Right. And we keep hearing the same stories.
But how are people Okay, how do people still rationalize it? Because, you know, I try not to, like, dive into it because I don't respond to most stuff on social media that irks me for the most part because you engage
in trolls.
Well,
you'll be upset every 5 minutes.
But there are people that still believe. Like, they're still well, what else did he do? Like, y'all are just coming for the police and da-da-da-da.
He should have complied.
Even with the woman in Walls House. Like, she had to be drunk. She had to be drunk and disorderly. I'm like, I saw it in the video. One, if you can't handle a drunk person, you should not be a cop. Like, most places for cops, like, maybe 25% of your job is just going to be, like, escorting drunk people.
That's probably true.
Just to be like, sir, calm down. Like, just head this way, please. I'm tired of people being like, oh, well, you need to obey. Like, if cops can't handle someone not listening to them the first time, they should not be cops. Teachers can't just strike kids because they're not listening. Like, that's not how the world works.
And it's illegal. Cops, if they're illegally arresting you, you should be able to defend yourself.
Yeah. Right.
Violently, if necessary, because they're breaking the law. Right. They're committing a crime by forcefully arresting you illegally.
And we've already seen places like in Chicago just, what, 2 or 3 years ago, they shut down a secret site where police would just take people and beat the crap out of them, torture them until they got the confession they needed for court. Like, that kind of stuff is ridiculous. And it's insane to me that people are like, well, why wouldn't you just listen to cops? I have no idea what cops are going to do.
Yeah.
I have no clue. I don't trust
that kind of thing has been going on forever, and it's going to still continue to go on. I mean, they're just going to find another location, unfortunately. Yeah. But, you know, it's a fine line.
But with that information, there are still detractors that don't believe that you are in the wrong as a police officer doing these things. And those are also people that are in the system, that are judges, that are attorneys, that are all of these things.
Well, did you see the woman in, what, New Jersey who freaked out on the cops yesterday?
Oh, yeah, the white lady that was...
Because they have no idea, because they can talk back to the cops and be, like, what would instantly get a black person tased. Like, if I had my hands in an officer's face the way that woman did, if you didn't see it, her kids got pulled over. She's, like, got some local, like, state, maybe city-level job. And she was like, you know, you need to respect me and my kids, and I want to know what happened. They're like, look, we gave all the information to the driver. These are college kids. You're their mother.
You don't get to know.
We don't have to tell you anything. Right. And she's like, I am disappointed in you. I'm disappointed in you.
And she got very disrespectful.
And then she starts swearing at them. Yeah. Yeah. Would have been tased instantly.
Yeah, or any one of us would have got balled up. Yeah, got balled up and stuffed in the back. Watch your head, sir or ma'am, and went to jail. But
my point being is, they don't know. They don't know. They think, like, because if you can get that far with the cops and not have an incident, then you think cops are not dangerous because they're not lethal to you.
Yeah. To you.
And I honestly think that that's just how a lot of people walk around. They're like, oh, well, I deal with cops and they've never bothered me, so it's clearly on you.
But you say you are a black cop, right? So, like, where are you at with this, you know, with all this stuff that's going on internally? And what is his viewpoint with a lot of this stuff?
Because
it'd be tough for me.
It's a dual consciousness. It's just like black people exist in this world with dual consciousness. They, like, navigate into the police culture, and they know they have to accept and exist in the police culture a certain way. So there's things that they accept about the police culture that they don't necessarily agree with, but in order to survive, they have to accept it.
I think a lot of officers, I have friends that are dispatch officers in Chicago as well, and so when I talk to them about, like, Black Lives Matter and what are the police doing, a lot of times the conversation comes up to this. We are drastically underfunded. We work super crazy long hours. We are not given proper equipment. We don't have proper training. You get your balls busted if you're going to therapy and, like, needing to cry it out. Like, it's still kind of that old school macho mentality. There's a lot that needs to change within the police organizations. There's a lot of things we could be doing, just like our schools are underfunded. Like, until we start funding our infrastructures better and getting people access and support that they need, they can't do their jobs. On top of that, another complaint cops are often coming up with is the fact that, like, we're busting people and we can't keep them in jail because our, like, that system is also broken.
Sure. Yeah.
So, like, it's a lot to work within. And I can't imagine, like, what kind of challenges there is if you're looking to keep justice but also working inside a corrupt system.
Exactly. Well, and then you got to think about it, too. All those hours at the gun range, you mean to tell me that you can't shoot somebody in the femur?
There aren't that many hours at the gun range, though.
You can't get them in the leg, but a lot of them go just for the sake of just to shoot.
Just to shoot.
Just for the thrill. You mean you can't clip a shoulder? I can, and I'm only there once a month.
Right.
Yeah.
I can get that femur if you got a knife or something over there. I don't need to take your life.
I certainly don't need to empty 20 bullets into you if you're sitting with your back to me in a car.
Yeah.
I think getting healthy veterans into the police would be really helpful, because to hear those guys talk about, they're like, so we don't understand why you guys have military actions going on. There's a lot of things you guys do that we would never do overseas in other people's countries.
Yeah.
There's a lot we can do to be better.
They don't need tanks and all that military stuff. And on that, real quick, the fact that Orange Face was going to try to, or still may try to have that military parade, spend $30 million. He wasn't in the military.
He invaded the military.
He had a bone spur. I have a bone spur, so I can't go serve. But now you want a military? We were supposed to celebrate your goofy ass?
And there was one very important key statement that was made here. Don't mess with Christian because he shoots guns every month. I heard that little part right there.
Like, you gotta know how to do the duty. It's amazing, right? I shoot everything, but I still don't think the average American needs an AR-15. But go ahead.
I agree with that. That's scary. That's a whole different subject. All right, so we're gonna move on to our last subject of the day. R. Kelly. He is staying in the news. You know, he's actually been in the news for years about this sexual misconduct and a lot of different things and sex slaves and all kind of stuff. Cults and everything. Well, he is in the news again, but this time it's sort of a different angle. So, you know, some people have been saying, like, why haven't we banned R. Kelly?
Why haven't black people gotten rid of R. Kelly?
Because it was only black women talking about it.
Well, not anymore.
Why have y'all been supporting this man for this long?
So apparently, Tarana Burke, who we know who founded Me Too movement, she was on the Tom Joyner show and was questioned about, you know, why hasn't the Me Too movement taken down R. Kelly? So she clapped back and basically was like, listen, we've been doing what we can do, but we need the support of radio stations, and I've asked many radio stations to stop playing his music. I've asked many teams to stop, you know, supporting him, ticket goers to stop, you know, going to the concerts. So she was talking to Tom Joyner about this, and apparently he said he will not play, moving forward, any of R. Kelly's music. So that is a start. What do you guys think about Tom not playing R. Kelly's music?
It's about damn time. Tom, he's been in Chicago for 50-some-odd years, like, playing the hits. You know the gospel folks there. You know that he prowled churches and after schools and brought girls food and took them out of class to have sex with them. Like, this is not news to anyone musically inclined in Chicago. So it's about time, and it's upsetting that it took Vince Staples getting on Coachella's live radio station to say something for people to be like, oh, maybe is it time to react now? Like, it's beyond. It is beyond. Chicago papers have been running stories, like, huge, prominent stories, Pulitzer Prize-winning stories about how R. Kelly is having sex with children. It's a problem, and I'm glad that we're at least starting to do something now, but there's a wake of young girls in this that nobody stood up for before.
Do you think that it's affecting the black community differently than it has the mass, you know, the Me Too movement? Because we all still have talked about how, you know, we know that there are probably several black actresses who haven't come forward yet.
And actors.
And it's kind of like it's trickling down. You know, we've gotten the mass, the big actors who've said things. But now, you know, what about the other races and other communities that have been a little bit less vocal than others? Do you think that wave is coming?
Do you mean
as
about
well?
R. Kelly? Or
no,
about
just
me
in
too?
General. Just in general about.
Well, I mean, I think it's coming out, but I mean, it's like thing. It's just how the system works in America. Tarana Burke started Me Too.
Right.
Nobody paid attention until white women started talking about their experiences and what went forward. So I don't think that it's just the way the cookie crumbles in America. Mm-hmm. Black women, unfortunately, are almost under the country at this point in terms of people paying attention to victimization and whatever else issues exist for black women. And then black women usually lead the charge, as in getting the child molester in Alabama not to be in the Congress.
Like, thank God.
Like, lead the charge, and then people kind of latch on, and then it becomes something about something else. So just Tarana Burke is saying, like, we've been trying to do this to R. Kelly for years, but wasn't nobody trying to hear it because nobody was trying to care about teenage black girls running around Chicago that are fast that happen to get caught up with R. Kelly. And I put fast in quotation marks for those of y'all that are listening.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's how we view, and that's the lens through which we view black women and black children, and we know that exists, and we want to keep pretending like it doesn't, and that's why.
In the same way men being arrested at Starbucks is outrageous, but a woman being tackled to the ground,
That's true.
And it's also, you know what, as a man, I've realized and taken my position accordingly with Me Too and Time's Up and stuff like that, because as amazing and courageous as the women are that came out with it, it's going to take some men as well
to say that
this is wrong. It's going to take some real men out here to say that if a woman is as good as I am at my job, then she should make the same dollar.
Yeah.
It's going to take some real men to step up and help get some movement behind that as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, that's definitely true. Well, another story that was breaking today was Bill Cosby, who was all over everything media-wise because we found out that he was guilty on all three counts of aggravated indecent assault. He's on a $1 million bail. The jury was 7 men, 5 women who reached a verdict today that convicted him for the drugging and molestation of Andrea Constant. And in 2004 at his home. So that she they said that she actually was the major portion of this verdict today. He's ordered to stay at home until his sentencing, and he may face up to 30 years. Now, Bill Cosby is 80 years old. So, you know, this is going to be a very interesting play with his sentencing, what that really means. Yeah. And if you were watching any of the news today, you saw it was a very emotional day for many of the women. I mean, they left the courthouse crying and bawling. And one of the women says she actually hit her head, like, on a bench because she was just in so much emotion after the verdict was announced. And, you know, I think this is a very interesting thing because we obviously have seen, you know, what this means for Bill Cosby's legacy. But I'll be interested to see how much time he really gets for jail. What do you guys think about it?
He better get life.
Life, okay.
He needs to die in prison.
Like, how do you really feel?
Yeah, really.
Like, honestly, a lot of people are like, he's old. Like, let it go. Like, these women were told, just essentially, keep your mouth shut. No one's going to believe you. For 20, 30 years, some of them holding this inside and having to deal with it, and no one believing them within their industry. Many of them can no longer work or were not offered opportunities to continue to work in their industry. That kind of theft is huge, and I don't think we pay enough attention to the men who take jobs away from women through their sexual violence.
Sure.
It's a lot. And so I don't have any sympathy for Cosby. I don't care that he created the Cosby Show. I don't care that he was telling people to pull up their pants. I don't care about any of it. I think you're an awful human being, and you should die in prison.
Wow. Okay. Mm-hmm.
I can't follow that.
Courtney, look, I'm like, we'll keep it on that side of the room. Courtney, what do you think?
I can't say that I disagree. I can say that I'm probably a little less aggressively hostile about it because the disappointment culturally is
enormous.
Like, and it's not like I didn't think or expect or whatever, because I actually, after the last trial was a mistrial, I'm like, y'all gotta get, I mean, at this point, we know he did. Even if he didn't do it to her, he done did it to a whole bunch of other people.
Right.
So, my response has been always, damn it, Bill, you have no, like, how, I'm so just devastated that it's possible to be that effed up in the brain, I guess. That's going to be his legacy. And that's your legacy.
That's what we're going to remember.
You've destroyed all of it. And people are like, oh, but, you know, the show is still great. We will never look at any of his material the same way, in the same lens, ever again. Mm-hmm. And that is devastating to us black people in period. Like, we, ugh.
Yeah, I mean, he's not only disgusting. You know, kind of changed the lives, obviously, for the women that he affected, but also for the actors for the show. I mean, you know, you think about it, like, they're probably going to pull the... Well, they already had pulled the Cosby Show for a while. And I'm sure that with this verdict, they're definitely going to be pulling it. Although... Don't get me started on that, because I don't necessarily think that should be the case, because the guy from Seventh Heaven, I forgot his name.
Steven.
I can't think. The father on Seventh Heaven. He was known for... He had molestation charge.
The same thing with Kelso from Seventh... That 70s Show.
That's true. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, that's a whole other different thing. Everybody's like, oh, take the Cosby Show off. I'm like,
You can take a lot of shows off.
What you call... Netflix pulls Spacey's show.
They did pull the show.
They were like, oh, no.
They did. They did.
But, so, why, man? Why? Like, what are we not?
Do you feel like, looking back at some of his actions, this was, I don't want to say predictable because we were living in a different time, but like the way he did Lisa Bonet super dirty when she, and like the idea of like taking over the way somebody uses their body as their image. To me, there's just a lot of little things, like, going back where you're like, damn, we could maybe have seen it.
I mean, no, in terms of control freakness. Absolutely. Mm. In terms of drugging and raping chicks for 40 years?
Yes.
No. Like, would it might that have happened in the late 60s and 70s when everybody's doing weird psychedelic drugs and I might have believed that.
Sure.
Yeah. But the idea that he even, as of 2004, man was what, 65?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Brother, you still drugging? That's bonkers to me. And I can't, especially that you didn't reconcile what you had done creatively and what you claim to be attempting to do for our community with what you were doing personally and think that something needed to get fixed or worked out mm-hmm. or there didn't need to be any kind of comeuppance on your part.
But is there some element of craziness with it? Because it's you're making yourself two different people mm-hmm. because you're telling, you know, Christian and Courtney and Joelle to, you know, pull up their pants and not be overly sexual and do all these different things that, you know, that you are supposed to be this, you know, upstanding citizen, mm-hmm. but yet you are drugging women and raping women.
But he
and
that's to, the like, same,
you know,
not
how do you turn that off? You know what I mean?
In his mind, that was acceptable behavior.
It was acceptable behavior for him.
For him.
And the thing, he's power hungry, and he had the power, and he had a whole bunch of people looking up to him. And we see the time when we see it with preachers taking advantage of, like, children or other members of the congregation. Like, when you have that kind of unchecked power, when people tell you everything you do is great and your shit smells delicious, like, you're going to start, like, taking and making moves.
You believe it.
It's ridiculous.
So what's the reason they couldn't charge him with the other woman was because the statute of limitations?
Statute of limitations.
She literally, this last woman, she only had, like, a day. Mm-hmm. If she hadn't filed a day later, it would have passed statute of limitations, and she got it in. So. Yeah. What, Camille, where are you, girl?
Well, that's my other question. Is Camille going to stay with him?
Hell, Camille ain't going nowhere.
Have you seen Camille?
I mean, but it'd be smart for me not to see Camille
because
she should be. She should not be there.
Camille's in her house, which is paid for, living very comfortably,
and probably siphoned off her own funds years ago, knowing what the heck he was doing. Which I don't know if we should be okay with that either.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just overall just
the most disappointing thing in the world.
I know, we lost another one, but we gained some great ones like Christian Keys, who's here today.
Okay, thank you.
You like that. You like that, right?
Yo,
my man is working. You right? Like, we ain't going to leave it on a negative note. We're going to talk about empowerment for black folks.
Amen.
All right. CW Supernatural, BT's In Contempt. I mean, first of all, I love Supernatural. I mean, that show's been on for like 85 years.
Yeah, they're starting season 14 in a couple months.
Oh, my goodness.
We just wrapped season 13.
I love the show.
Wow.
So tell us about your character, Michael, on there.
It's amazing. Michael is not a nice person. He's like a very large African-American Genghis Khan. Like, he's not nice. He wants to take over the world and the alternate universe and make up his own rules and everything, and he has some success.
Yeah.
So I got wings and powers, and I can wave my hand and throw you 30 feet that way. It's amazing, man. It's just once you buy into it and don't judge it, and just say, okay, well, this is my reality. This is possible. I got wings and powers, and so does he, and so does he. Oh, I got to kill him and him. It's amazing.
So is he a god? Because, you know, I know that
He's an archangel.
Okay, he's an archangel.
So Lucifer is my brother, Satan.
Okay.
And then Gabriel is also the archangel. He's my brother as well. So we have epic battles, especially the last two episodes, the finale and the episode before it. So it's coming up in like 3 weeks, I want to say.
Okay. I mean, that show keeps on going. I love it, though. It's like they never get dull with the storyline. Mm-hmm. That's what I love about it.
And I like they stuck some melanin. I'm beige, but they stuck some... They dropped some melanin in there.
But I will say that, you know, like, I've been watching that show since the beginning because I'm all about, like, supernatural and ghosts and that kind of stuff. And I will give that show credit where it's due. They brought on a lot of people of color on there. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, Sterling was on the show for a while. I mean, there's been many actors.
Loretta Devine was on there.
Yeah, you know, so there's been a lot of people of color. So congratulations, man, for adding to that melanin on the show.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
But you transitioned from the world of all the supernatural into In Contempt.
Yes.
Exactly.
Public defender. I love it. I love it. One, we celebrate these amazing women, and you know, we kind of get to pull the curtain back a little bit and kind of peek at some of the things that you guys deal with every day that men don't always get to see or aren't always privy to. Your struggles, your victories, your flaws, your insecurities. And it shows all of that. It shows all of that. And it's like, I love it. I would watch the show if I wasn't on the show.
Right. That says a lot.
Okay.
Now, go ahead. No, go ahead. No, you.
It's lost kind my train of thought now. Go ahead.
Well, okay. So, you know, we've been talking about this for a couple actors that we have on the show. We've seen in the last couple years that, you know, with Netflix and Shonda Rhimes and all these different production deals that are going on, there seems to be a lot more opportunities for African American men and women in front of the camera and outside, you know, on the opposite side of the camera. Have you seen that change? Because you've been in the game for a minute. You've done a lot of great things and continue to do a lot of great things. But are you starting to really see that big change of the roles being available for African-Americans and people of color?
I think it's coming. I think it's slowly starting to get here. I've definitely been able to get in some rooms that I couldn't get in before. I mean, Supernatural. And, you know, it's boiling down to where, and it's getting closer to the point to where if you have the chops, you can get the job. Now, sometimes you still will get outnamed.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm up for something and let's say Michael B. Jordan's up for it, congrats, Mike. that's my guy. He's a great dude. Talented brother. He deserves every blessing he's getting. But I think the opportunities are growing. The production opportunities and the writing and content creating opportunities are there. That's why I started get my pen moving in these scripts and these shows and books and stuff. But I think it's there. We just got to do the work. And if you let me in that room, I'm showing out. So
I feel that.
Well, as an actor and moving forward into this wonderful, hopefully inclusive, wonderful industry that we will have, what do you see as the dream actor role for yourself?
To be honest, I don't have like one. I want to do everything that's out of the box they try to put me in. I want to be a bank robber. I want to be a serial killer. I want to hide underneath your bed and slice your Achilles tendon so you can't run from me.
Did you just pull a Pet Cemetery /
so I can take my time. Like, I want to be one of those that when people see you, I'm probably they're scared of you. I want to do the crooked CEOs and the surgeons. I want to do it all.
Okay.
I want to land in one of these Marvel superhero movies.
I know that's right.
Okay. While I still got I still look like Captain America underneath this shirt, right. I want to go ahead and take advantage of it.
I know that's right.
We all trying to get back to Wakanda.
They said the light skinned people got to go to Wakanda. They're going to hell for that. That means we got to be on the other side.
I'm waiting for the other side. You got to get to Jason. We're still safe. I called the travel up and be like, it's getting shady over here, bro.
Yeah.
We need some help.
Beige Panther. So it's gonna be the sequel.
Well, what do you watch? Like when you're at home and you got some downtime, what are your favorite shows to kind of check out?
Scandal that just ended. Love that. What else? I will be checking out season 2 of Dear White People on Netflix.
Yes. Yeah.
Season 2 of Luke Cage. I'm gonna binge that on Netflix.
When is it coming?
How to Get Away with Murder is fire.
Yeah, fire.
And one of my new favorite shows, in a not ego way at all, I love In Contempt. Because I get to see what everybody else did. I didn't see their scenes, you know, when I was filming mine and then I wasn't on set on those days. And they kicking, you know what. So it's a really witty, honest show. It covers a lot of the issues we talked about here today. Yeah. Police brutality and child abuse and being framed or having to stay in jail until you're like, forget it, man. I'll just say I did it.
Yeah.
You know, and the broken system and everything that we were talking about and how it addresses the fact that it's set up to where if we can hurry up and get, let's say they get all four of us on a felony, even if we just plead out to it, us four can't vote anymore.
Right.
Us four can't buy guns.
Yeah.
Us four won't have access to the greatest jobs, the higher paying jobs. It's not an accident. It's by design. And the show addresses it. So I like it.
I can't wait to. I'm gonna start binge watching that one too. I gotta add that to my queue.
Get in there.
And then you also got this new action film that I was reading about. No More Mr. Nice Guy.
Yes.
Now tell us about that, because I said it's like Jason, the Black Jason Bourne. They call you. Like, that's a hell of a title right there.
Oh, I'm sniping people off the roof and strangling them in their car.
See that gun training came in.
But they're bad people. Like they're evil people.
Okay.
Like one of them is doing sexually molesting children.
Kill him.
I strangle him in the car. It was so fun.
Love it.
So it's a really good film. It's based on a New York Times bestseller by Carl Weber. He's only got like 23 or 30 New York Times bestsellers, but he's transitioning a lot of them into film.
Okay.
So The Preacher's Son came out last year. The sequel to that, The Choir Director, will be out this year, and then No More Mr. Nice Guy is coming, and that's myself, Lisa Ray, Luke Goss, Miguel Nunez.
Oh, Miguel. Okay.
Lisa Ray plays she tricks me into, basically frames me for a felony, a couple murders, and I have to work at her company. And so she is kind of like my mentor and
and a little. I'm like, that's where I was going next. Yeah. I was like, so I did. You have some one-on-ones with Miss
Ray? Yes, we had. We created some fire. We're just gonna leave it there. We set a fire or two. Okay. Yes, Jesus.
Oh boy! Well, see, I'm counting all these projects. I'm like, that's like six already. So I'm seeing checks, is what I'm seeing. There's a lot of checks.
Hey, listen, if he want to keep on opening doors, man, I'm gonna do the work. I'm gonna appreciate it. Stay hungry and humble, man, and I'm going to get it. It's time. It's been 18 years.
Yeah.
So I have a grounded respect for what we get to do as a job, but I also like I try to use my social media platform and the eyes that are on me to address a lot of stuff that we were talking about today, because I feel like if they're listening, then let me give them something worth listening to.
Yeah, and it's important for, you know, especially for people like yourself to really give that platform, you know, the voice that people need to hear.
So yeah, and I want to make my son proud, you know. I want him to be like, Dad, be repping.
Yeah. Is your son going to be an actor?
You know what? No, he wants to run track in the Olympics and design video games.
Oh, love damn. That.
Oh, hey.
Okay. Listen,
sounds like a
now that's the
plan.
Move.
Okay.
Right. That sounds like a spectacular plan.
Great plan. Yeah. Because
video games ain't going nowhere anytime soon.
I'm sending him one of them camps, too. Yep. No. Come on. You learn the code, young man.
Yeah. That's right. Coding. That's where it's at. Learn the code now, for real. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, where can fans find you on social media and all that fun stuff?
It's really easy. My actual pages are verified. So at Christian Keys for Twitter and Instagram. Christian like the religion, K-E-Y-E-S. And then on Facebook, it's facebook.com, actor Christian Keys.
Okay. So. Courtney, where can fans find you?
I'm all over the atmosphere at Stuart Starlet.
You guys find me all over the internet at Joelle Monique.
You can find me at Daryl Christian on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and on the Reels channel's Broken Famous show every week. And thanks, man, for coming in.
You gave some knowledge. Thank you guys for having me.
You know, we found out all about the projects. I'm going to binge watch In Contempt.
Yes, right? Yes.
You know, and like check it all out. And looking forward to this No More Mr. Nice Guy.
Thank you.
Like a good action flick with a black hero right
there. Yes, yes.
All right, well, everybody have a great weekend. And wait, will it be May the next time we see everybody? Because it's going by so quick.
It's going by.
Already. It's the end of April. All right, well, everybody have a safe and blessed weekend and have some fun. And we'll see you next week.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagram at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in. The views expressed here are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.